begin reading at verse number 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city that lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh, chrysolite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, a topaz, the tenth, a chrysoprasus, the 11th, a jacinth, the 12th, an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. That means every gate was made out of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were, transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we thank you for your precious word to our hearts today, and certainly we are encouraged and excited as we read about this heavenly city that's coming down to earth when the Lord Jesus will rule and reign, and we will be with him as your children. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, today that each and every one of us will have that blessed assurance that when life leaves this body, that we'll go into your presence, and that someday we will dwell in this wonderful place. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that each and every one of us would have faith and trust and confidence and have the strength to keep on going and not to despair as we think about our world today and everything that is surrounding us. May we not be discouraged by the sin and ungodliness that is all around us, but rather look up because our redemption draweth nigh. Lord, may your will be done. We pray today for each and every one of us. We pray that we would live lives that are pleasing to you, that we might bring honor and glory to your name. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would be with this missionary down in Colombia that has injured his head especially, and pray that he would recover. Javier Ruiz, we pray for him and for his family and for his ministry. We ask you, Lord, to bless him in a very special way and restore him to health that he might be able to do this work. We pray for the members of our congregation, Lord. We know that there are those who have special needs. And we pray that you'd meet the need of each and every one, dear Lord. Those who are ill, those who have various problems and difficulties, we ask you, Lord, to look down and strengthen and bless each one. And we pray now that you'd bless your word to our hearts today. Help us to follow in the way that you'd have us to go day by day, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We pray in his precious name. Amen. We're looking here at the New Jerusalem. You know, Jerusalem has always been the city that God set apart to put his name there, the place where the people came to worship at the tabernacle or to temple, and a holy place, a holy city here on earth. But here we see the New Jerusalem. It's going to be altogether different. And we read the description here of what this is going to be like. And the heavenly city and the holy city, the place where we will live throughout eternity. What a wonderful thought that is, to get away from all of the smog and the diseases and the problems that this world has, to go to a place. It almost sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? And I guess that's what a lot of people probably think. When they read this, they think, well, surely it can't be that good. And yet God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And he certainly is able to make such a wonderful place. What a glorious sight this is, to think about this this city. As I read this, it reminded me of an old gospel song. It's entitled The Pearly White City. I don't know if you've ever heard that or not. It goes back quite a ways. It says, "There's a holy and beautiful city whose builder and ruler is God. John saw it descending from heaven when Patmos in exile he trod. Its high massive wall is of jasper. The city itself is pure gold. And when my frail tent here is folded, mine eyes shall its glory behold. In that bright city, pearly white city, I have a mansion, a harp, and a crown. Now I am watching, waiting and longing for the white city that's soon coming down. No sin is allowed in that city, and nothing defiling or mean. No pain and no sickness can enter. No crape on the doorknob is seen. Earth's sorrows and cares are forgotten. No tempter is there to annoy. No parting words ever are spoken. There's nothing to hurt or destroy. No heartaches are known in that city. No tears ever moisten the eyes. There's no disappointment in heaven. no envy and strife in the sky. The saints are all sanctified holy. They live in sweet harmony there. My heart is now set on that city, and someday its blessings I'll share. My loved ones are gathering yonder. My friends, too, are passing away. And soon I shall join their bright number and dwell in eternity's day. They're safe now in glory with Jesus. Their trials and battles are past. They overcame sin and the tempter. They've reached that fair city at last. I like that song. I thought it was good. I know there's many other songs about heaven that we could think about, but that's the one that came to my mind. This morning we'd like to take a closer look at this wonderful city of the New Jerusalem. First of all, we see it's identified with God's people. Notice that one of the angels, and this is the same angel that had announced judgment on Babylon back in chapter 17 and verse 1. Let's take a look there for a second to remind us. Revelation 17 and verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. This is the Babylon that is judged by God and spoken of as the great whore. And notice the contrast here. He says to John, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. You see, the great whore has been judged and destroyed, and now we have the bride, the Lamb's wife. Those who have put their faith and trust in Him, we are joined together with Christ. He is in us and we are in Him. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus spoke once. They said, why don't your disciples fast like the Pharisees and like John the Baptist's disciples? And Jesus said, how can the bridegroom fast when I got it backwards, I think. How did I do that? Let's see. I'm adding something in I didn't have written down. You see, that's the problem. I'll hear about this when I get home. But anyway, my point and what I'm trying to get across is, he said, how can they fast while the bridegroom is with them? That's what he said. Okay, I got it straight in a minute. Jesus pictured himself as the bridegroom and the disciples as the bride. You see, joined together in one accord. And here, we are the bride of Christ. That might seem strange to the men, I know. But we're not speaking physically, we're speaking spiritually, right? And so He is our heavenly bridegroom. And we are His bride. And we will be joined together with Him. But notice here, He speaks about the great city. So how could the... He says, I'm going to show you the bride, and then He shows him the great city. So how could that be? Well, the city is the people, right? You know, we talk about the church. This is, we call it the Pauline Independent Baptist Church, right? But if this building is here without anybody in it, that's not the church. You are the church. See, we are the church. And that's the same thing with the heavenly city. It's characterized by those who are in it, those who have been made righteous and holy. This is what makes it. And God is there, you see. It's not the buildings, it's not the materials that it's made from, but it's the people. And it's God Himself who is there in their midst, you see. The occupants. That's the reason He says, I'll show you the Lamb's wife. And then He shows him the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Is it already there? What do you think? I often wonder about that. You know, We speak about people when they die. You know, you bury their body, and their soul goes to be with the Lord. Where does it go? Do you think it's in this heavenly city? It could very well be. And someday it's going to descend down to earth. And that might seem strange to you. I don't know if you've thought of that before. And we talk about going up to heaven, but here he's talking about the city is going to come down to earth. And it's a very, very interesting to think about that. And this is, it's a holy city. You know, we don't know anything about holy cities in this world, do we? You know, Philadelphia is supposed to be the city of brotherly love, right? Is that a joke or what? Huh? I mean, how many people get killed every weekend, you know, or even every day? People shooting and killing, and there's nothing holy about it, that's for sure. But this is the holy city, because God is there, His very presence, the Lord Jesus is there, and we will be with Him. It's a city of light. Look at verse 11, it says, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, like a jewel, shimmering, glimmering, resplendent. What a beautiful sight. The glory of God. You know, all of the brightness, the power of God manifested. It's even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Now, there's a whole lot of these gems and jewels that are mentioned here. We'll get to them a little bit later. And I read several different books about this, and they're not quite sure what all these jewels would be today. But we know that this was the most prized of all the jewels that could possibly be when this was written. Okay, maybe some of the names have changed and so forth. Some people have said that this jasper was like a diamond, clear as crystal. It could be the diamond, it may be something else. But at any rate, we find here the precious jewels just resplendent throughout the entire city. And there's no darkness whatsoever. It's all filled with light. And verse 23, let's take a look there. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God, there it is again, did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Over and over again we find God the Father and the Lamb of God linked together. So Jesus is God. He is the eternal Son of God and divine. And He is going to be there as the light in the city. They didn't need any artificial light or any natural light. God Himself is going to be there. It's all going to be bright. Just like in the beginning, I think we talked about this in one of our Bible studies, that when God created the world, the first thing He said was, let there be light. And His glory was shining throughout the world. It's going to be that way again, isn't it? It's going to all be light. God is light, it says in 1 John, and in Him is no darkness at all. When we see darkness in the Bible, it's always a picture of sin, isn't it? A picture of ungodliness, unrighteousness. People do things in the dark they don't do in the light. And this is all going to be out in the open. Everything is bright and sunny. Well, not sunny, but bright. Anyway, there's no darkness, no sin, nothing to defile. What a wonderful thing that is, to be able to know that you don't have to fear. No one's going to harm anyone else. There's no danger. It's a wonderful thing to think about. Then we see here the walls, the gates, and the foundations of this city. And in verse 12, it had a wall great and high. And it tells us over in another place that it was 44 cubits high, which they tell us is about 266 feet. So the wall, it was a pretty high wall, 266 feet tall. And but it wasn't for defense. It didn't cover everything. It was just a. It was there for beauty, and to show the limits of the city. There's no enemies to worry about. You don't have to be concerned that someone's going to attack the city, because all of that is in the past. And this wall had 12 foundations. 12 foundations. And with the names of the 12, so I get it right now. The foundation was the name of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Right? So here we have the apostles represented. And then the gates themselves had on them the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. So you have the, thinking about in the Bible, the Old Testament, Israel, the New Testament, the church, the 12 apostles, and we find that God's people are going to be there. They're represented. And here honored with their names inscribed on the gates and on the foundation. Notice the numbers. Here we saw already in verse 9, it talked about the seven angels, seven vials, and all of that. And throughout this entire scriptures that we've been looking at, seven appears a lot, doesn't it? That's a number of completion. 7 days in a week. And God makes seven is significant in that sense. Now here we have 12. And it's 12 tribes of Israel. There are 12 gates. There are 12 foundations, 12 apostles. All of these 12s, they have to have some significance, right? 12, according to Tim LaHaye, I read that, it says it seems to be God's governmental or administrative number. So this is the way he sets things up. 12 tribes of Israel, you know. And then there's 12 apostles that go out with the message of the gospel. And it's a number that he uses a great deal. It's 144,000. If you divide that up, you've got 12,000 from each tribe of Israel. Right? So this is something that God uses. Now notice there's three gates on the east, on the west, on the north, and on the south. They tell us this was like the camp of Israel when they were out in the wilderness. You know, there were three over here and three there, and three over here and three over here. So God is setting this up in the same way. He has a reason for everything that he does. If you study the Old Testament, you think, well, what in the world has that got to do with me? You know? And then you find out that this is what it's going to look like in the New Jerusalem, right? Same thing. And it's very, very significant. And then everything is covered with all kinds of these sparkling jewels and the brilliant light. And it says that the street is pure gold. Street is pure gold. Walking on the streets of gold, huh? Boy, that's something. Did you notice how they did such a good job out on Pauling Road? Isn't that great? Yes, sir. I am so happy with that. It's not gold, but it's serious. It's a lot better than what it was before, right? Anyhow, when we get to heaven, we're going to see the street of gold. It's interesting, it says street. I have to think, surely they have more than one street. And something as big as this, right? I don't know. But anyway, I guess he's centering in on this main street, probably. You know, showing what it's going to be like. It's going to be made of gold and be transparent. Each gate is made of a single pearl. You know, someone had a good time with that. They said, well, what kind of an oyster would make a pearl like that? You know, there's these gigantic gates. But, you know, who made these? Who made these pearls? Who made these gates? God. I think he can do pretty well what he wants to, can he? If he wants to make a gigantic pearl, then he can certainly do that. I was reading, in the ancient world, pearls were of all the stones most valuable. The pearl was the thing that people prized above everything else or any other jewel. Look at Matthew 13. This is one of the parables of Jesus. Matthew 13 and verse 46. Matthew 13. Verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. See? The pearl was the most valuable one. And this is what he sold everything he had in order to buy this. And this speaks to us about the pearl of great price, where Jesus sold all he had in order to purchase us. So it's a symbol here of unimaginable beauty. Now, as we read all of this, I know the book of Revelation has a lot of symbols. And some of this may be symbolic. I don't know exactly what heaven is going to look like. But this is the picture that John saw in his vision. And showing us the beauty and the majesty and the glory of God. Notice the dimensions of the city. In verse 16, it says, first of all, that it's four square. It's set off in a square pattern. And the length is as large as the breadth. Okay? And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. You say, well, what in the world is that? They tell us that's almost 1,500 miles. Okay, the length and the width. And then it says that the breadth also is the same. So it's like it's a cube. And it's interesting, I was reading, I think this is William Barclay I was reading behind, and he speaks about this. He says it's in the shape of a cube. The cube was the symbol of perfection among both the Greeks and the Jews. The altar of the burnt offering, the altar of the incense, and the high priest's breastplate were all in the form of a cube. You can read that over in the book of Exodus. Also, the Holy of Holies in Solomon's temple was a perfect cube. So here we have, in the New Jerusalem, the shape of the city is going to be a cube. It's going to be gigantic. It's 1,500 miles wide. Long, well, I'm not doing it right anyway. What am I doing? Wide, long, and up. Okay, so you got a cube. I don't know how that could be, but that's what it says. It sounds like something out of Star Trek to me, but, you know, that's what it says. And you can take that however you want it. But I think that one of the main lessons that we can learn from this is it's going to be plenty of room for everybody. Huh? How about that? We're going to have plenty of room. He says, whosoever will may come. Right? There's no limit as to how many can fit into this city. There's plenty of room for all. And that's the reason he tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You see? There's plenty of room. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He has prepared this place for us. And there's plenty of room. So you can tell everybody you know, hey, come on and go with me. We're going to go to a place like you've never seen before. All you've got to do is put your faith and trust in Jesus. Repent of your sins. Turn to Him. It's worth it. There will be some things missing in heaven or in the New Jerusalem. Verse 22, I saw no temple therein. You know, it's always been a place of worship. The Jews, of course, had the temple. Other people have different kinds of worship places, like we have the church building. But there won't be any. No temple. Because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of Him. So with God's presence filling everything, you don't need a special place to go and to bow down and pray. The Lord is there. It's wonderful to think about, isn't it? That no temple, but the presence of God Himself, the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, the one who purchased our salvation. Then it says there's no sun or moon. We talked about this already. There's no reason for any other kind of light because God is there. The glory of God, the glory of the Lamb enlighten the city. And then it says down in, let's see, verse 25, there's no night there. It's interesting the way they say this. The gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. What's that saying? That's saying the gates are always open. They're always open. The gates never close. There's no reason to close the gates of the city. There's no night. It's always eternal day. I guess we don't need to sleep up there, do we? What do you think? We are always day. And there'll be full access. The gates are always open. Always open. And there'll be no sin or ungodliness. Nothing to defile or harm anyone. Verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. That's showed up several times, hasn't it? You remember the judgment, the great white throne judgment. They looked to see if their name was written in the Lamb's book of life. And here once again, it says that you can enter into the city if your name is written in the book. And your name is written in the book when you accept Jesus as your Savior, right? When you trust in Him. Put your faith and confidence in Him to save you from your sins. You know, it's a wonderful thing to think about, this beautiful picture that we have here of heaven. And no doubt, it probably will be more marvelous even than what's expressed in these words. How glorious it'll be to be in the presence of the Lord God Almighty, our Lord Jesus Christ. And everything will be perfect and righteous. No sin. Nothing to defile. To live in the very presence of God forever. That's a wonderful thing. I'm so happy that I will be there. Not because of who I am, but because of what Jesus did for me. And I hope you will too. You know your heart. I know we're all home folks here, but you know your own heart if you're trusting in Jesus for your salvation And you'll be there as well if you've trusted Him. And He is the way. He's the only way to the eternal city. So we need to make sure that we know Him, and we need also to tell others about Him. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for your precious word through our hearts this morning. We thank you for heaven, for this new Jerusalem, that city that's coming down from God, where we will dwell forever and ever. And we praise you and thank you for saving us from our sins and giving us eternal life. We pray that you would help us, Lord, to be effective witnesses for you. Cleanse our hearts and minds of any sin and ungodliness, and help us to prepare ourselves for your service. May Jesus Christ be praised. We pray in His name.